name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Mark Martin, but I'm feeling a little under the weather this week.
Wait. You use that joke in like week one.
Oh, okay, fine. You must hail the reign of the weather wizard. Ha 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 ha.
That works. All right. And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes of our show, The Flash. So, my friend Mark, that's Mark this week. That's not
you. Don't
your
have
brother.
To apologize for me. You know that, right?
I don't want people to get confused with your brother. Okay. Anyway, so
Pooklide, right turn.
That's a loyal brother right there, man. I'll just call you Jay instead of Mark this week. But okay. Jay is going to talk a little bit about... Okay, I'm sorry. I've got to stop for just a second.
Okay.
Okay. All right, I think I'm okay. I can get through this.
Okay.
I'm just a little emotional right now.
It's all right. You know, if you don't hurry up, though, we're going to run out of time.
Okay. All right, I'm going. Why don't you tell us about this episode?
All right.
While I stick my thumb.
Pull yourself together. All right. So, episode 15 from season 1, it's called Out of Time, and it originally aired on March 17th of 2015. Happy St. Patrick's Day there. Written by Todd and Aaron Helbing. Boy, these guys did a great job. And directed by Thor Frudenthal. Not to be confused, I guess, with Thor Odinson. So, it may be spring outside, but the weather is getting a little unpredictable, at least anywhere Mark Martin's hanging out. The weather wizard is out to destroy Joe West for killing his brother Clyde. He tracks him down, torments the police station, paralyzes the captain, and captures Joe. And now he's going to make Joe suffer. Suffer while he kills thousands of innocent people with a tsunami. Barry is going to have to race to get there in time, not even aware that Cisco has uncovered Harrison Wells' deadly secret. Barry is determined to do whatever it takes to save Joe and Central City, which leads him to run faster than ever before. Suddenly, though, he's ripped out of time and thrown to the past, one day prior to the heart-stopping events of this emotional roller coaster episode of The Flash, which seemed like a season finale. It had everything in it.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I'm glad it's not, because I've got to see what happens next. Although, what's that mean for the season finale? Because the real season finale.
Thanks for pointing that out. Oh, I'm having palpitations from
that.
All I know is my youngest son stayed up with me to watch The Flash when it aired live. I usually don't let him do that because, you know, you then have to get him to bed for school. You got to wind him down. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's The Flash. It's coming back. It's not going to be a super amazing episode, right? Because they're coming back from a hiatus. So it's a get started episode. Boom. I think I broke his brain. He was just like,
wah! We have similar experience here. There were goodness many sake. Gasps of shock and awe. But before we get to the awe, let's run down a little bit of news. We've been off for, you know, a couple weeks, and they crammed some news in there.
I think four. Has it been four weeks?
Has it been that? Oh, my gosh, it has been that long.
I think it has been like 4 weeks.
Goodness sakes. Well, this episode made up for it, let me tell you.
Thanks, guys.
So they posted something online. Who's they? I don't know. I'm guessing CW, somebody involved in the actual show process. But
yeah.
You can find it's the Chronicles of Cisco. Hold on. The Chronicles of Narnia. So I don't know how long this will be out.
Yeah, like I said, that's there's going to be the two posts on that, and then it's never going to get finished. But not for the reasons I gave you the other day.
Well, anyway, it's kind of funny. It's you know, it's a little Tumblr thing where it's written by Cisco himself. You know, in the one I was looking at, chapter two, he called it. He talked about the Prism, or who Caitlin called Rainbow Raider.
Rainbow
right?
Raider, yep, yep.
And talks a little bit about him. Talks about what happened, his powers, whatever. But what I thought was interesting that it talked about who feeds the prisoners. Because weren't we really concerned about who's taking care of these guys down in the?
We are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it starts off, his little blog, I guess, starts off saying, and this is in Cisco's voice, right? I always avoid eye contact when I drop off Prism's daily grub and vitamins. So there you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Cisco's taking care of him.
I hope he's getting paid for that. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, he does a lot at Star Labs. I'm telling you, he runs the joint. It seems as he comes up with all of the inventions. He's feeding the prisoners. He's naming the prisoners. You know, I mean, so he's a busy guy.
He's like a zookeeper for metahumans.
Yes. A metakeeper. What would that? I don't even want that to be called. He also, it starts off chapter one was Peekaboo, and then chapter two was Prism. So I would love to see them kind of continue this. I like the idea of one of the characters sharing something. I thought they might go with Iris, but she's not really doing the blog thing anymore. So
right,
I like
right.
what they're doing. I'm not sure why Cisco would have a blog, seeing as how everything's supposed to be real secret. But
yeah. Okay. Hey, dude, you know you're posting on Tumblr here, by the way.
Nobody would so. Tumblr, right? That's So anyway, check that out, Chronicles of Cisco, and you can find that. I guess the website proper is chroniclesofcisco.tumblr.com.
Okay,
so there you
Very
go.
Very cool.
Kind of fun. And then there was a convention, I guess, huh? It is convention season, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's a – I mean, it's as far as conventions go, it seems more like it's like a TED Talk sort of thing and not necessarily a convention like you might think of it, like Comic-Con or something. But because it's hosted by the Paley Center for the Media.
Okay.
But everybody knows it by Paley Fest.
So it sounds like a convention. It sounds like it's fans, though, at the thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's but I think it's more talks and less like, you know, show floor, you know, buy
sure.
stuff kind of things.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's kind of cool. what I meant by it. So,
I understand. And I've never been there. I would love to check it out sometime, find out more about it. But this is at least the second year in a row that they've had some pretty cool things going on at Paley Fest. I remember there were some neat interviews last year. I think with Arrow for sure, and maybe some others too. But you know, they had pretty much the whole main cast up on stage talking about what's to come in the future without giving too much away. They had some good footage of some stuff to come. Some awesome Mark Hamill stuff that you can check out online. A lot of that stuff's online.
Yeah.
And they had some new stuff. Talked a little bit about the Bug-Eyed Bandit, right?
Yep, that's going to be supposedly Felicity from Arrow. That's going to be her nemesis, I guess.
Yeah, and it's played by an
Emily
actress
Kinney.
Who played Beth, was her name, I think, on Walking Dead. Is that correct?
Yep, Emily Kinney.
Right, and they talked a little bit more about the crossover with Brandon Routh and Adam. Just some good stuff. Check it out online. You can... If you can find some video of it, I notice they've taken some of the video of the actual interview off, but some of it's still there, and there's some highlights and stuff. But they do talk a little bit about time travel stuff, which we hadn't seen until this week. But after seeing this episode, I'm like, okay, I can see where they're going, or at least how dedicated they are to going there.
Man. They are really dedicated to going there.
They jumped in hip deep, didn't they, man? That wasn't easing into it at all.
No. I mean, I think the easing into it was Martin Stein talking a little bit about time travel, what, two episodes ago on the Nuclear Man episode. But, yeah, this is serious, man. This is serious time travel we got going on here.
Excellent. Well, you know what? You are probably going to have to talk about this a little bit on your time travel blog that you have been working on this year.
I watched the episode and had completely forgot to make a post on there to say, oh yeah, by the way, there was time travel on the Flash this week, but maybe I'll put up the post when our podcast here goes live so I can plug this as well.
Excellent.
But I will put a how about this? I will put a note in our show notes if anybody is interested in seeing my blog about me reviewing and watching time travel movies all through the year 2015.
Well, and I recommend it because, first of all, very well written up. Thank you. But
oh, thanks.
What an excellent topic. I mean, I just love it in 2015.
It's so timely.
So right. It is timely. And finally, the last piece of news, more of Scarlet Velocity news than Flash news. But I consider that related.
It's totally news that we would need to tell people about.
I agree. So if you are a Star Wars fan, there is going to be a big celebration out in Anaheim mid-April, starting April 16th, called Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. And Jay and I will both be there. We're going to be attending the whole weekend. And if you're a fan of Star Wars, I definitely recommend going. I've been to every American celebration, and they are time of your life, man. I've been to everyone in America. Wow, yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah, first one was here
two.
In Denver. So,
yeah, I know, the Mudfest, right? I missed that one.
Yes.
And I missed the second one, so.
Yep, I've been to everyone. And I, like I said, I recommend them. It is the time of your life. At every single one, there has been once-in-a-lifetime experiences, or at least experiences that I've only had at celebrations. So it's a lot of fun. And this time, I'm really looking forward to meeting some of our listeners because I'm sure that some of them will be there. So if you happen to run in to Jay and or I – we would love to meet you, and you know what? We might actually have something for you.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Plus, as a bonus to Flash fans, Mark Hamill is actually going to be at the show signing autographs and meeting and greeting fans. So
that's right. Now does he like Star Wars or something? I know he's in the Flash. Is he involved in?
I think he had done a voice for Star Wars at some point.
Was he that Yoder? That guy?
Yoder? Is it from Minnesota?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know.
I would love to run.
He's tangentially involved with the original trilogy, I believe it is. So, but, of course, we'll see more about him at the end of March here as James Jesse, a.k.a. the original Trickster. So I've met Mark Hamill a couple times before, but I'm really more excited to talk to him right now about the Trickster and the new Flash episode. So
yeah, I'm not sure I can actually get my brain around something as epic as Mark Hamill's Trickster coming to Flash right after I've seen this episode. Man, there's so much to talk about. We got to get into this.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So where to start?
Yeah, where to start? How about we start yesterday and then – no.
that would work. You know what? I let's just jump right in to the big thing, the big character, Harrison Wells. Okay?
Sure.
there were so many other things in this one, and we'll get to them maybe. But definitely we can't miss out on Harrison Wells. So
we've been talking about Harrison Wells. Who is he? What does he want? Why is he here for – 14 episodes now, so we have all of our answers, right?
Not even close.
No, but we got a lot of good answers. I think
we did, and some more things to speculate on a little bit here. So, what do you think? Grant Gustin's been talking about these episodes and Harrison Wells specifically, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think between Grant Gustin and Tom Cavanaugh, who plays Harrison Wells, and the producer, Greg Berlanti, they've all said, you guys are not going to believe what we reveal about Harrison Wells, because I've been online and I've not seen anybody guess about it. And I keep tweeting back at them. I'm like, you guys need to listen to our podcast, you know, just because I'm trying to get more listeners and all. But I think they were right. I don't think in any of our speculation we went far enough.
You're right.
Because we've been talking about, well, Eddie's name, Eddie Thawne, is very much like Eobard Thawne, and so that's an homage to that. And Harrison Wells is obviously from the future. So, you know, we've got this. But no, Eobard Thawne is Harrison Wells, and Harrison Wells is Eobard Thawne from the future. Like, how far in the future? Like, we don't even know. Like, we were thinking it might just be, you know, 10 or, yeah, like 10 years or something like that. But that's just where the newspaper's from. He's probably from way beyond that.
Yeah, well, he said centuries. At least,
did he
right?
say centuries?
Well, when he told Sisko, is it, you know, to me, you've been dead for centuries.
Oh, right.
So
oh my gosh.
Now in the comics, he's from the 25th century, right? Well, at least in some versions of the comics.
Oh yeah, 25th, right? Because I'm thinking the 30th, but the 30th century is the Legion of Superheroes, I believe.
Okay.
So
right.
Okay, 25th. Yep, I'll go with that.
Yeah, and you're right. And I'm glad nobody went far enough in their speculation. They just keep pulling out these surprises. And like I said, I mean, they're not scared to really take some chances with this. But let's talk a little bit about...
That is an understatement. I mean...
Yeah, I guess it is, isn't it?
In the history of statements about this show, that is an understatement. But
you know what?
That it's good.
Let me pause just for a second and get your take. Because I'm feeling like I can't even believe that this is the first season of The Flash. And I think part of it is because of the risks they're taking and the extreme, just the size of
yeah.
this story and these ideas.
Great risk, great reward, right? And it's...
I agree.
It is kind of the first season. I mean, well, it's not kind of the first season. It is the first season. But I think... Go ahead.
Well, I mean, does it feel like the first season to you? I feel like the characters
are
very well established.
They've gotten the hang of these characters way faster, I think, than lots of shows that are maybe even beyond the first season.
Yeah, agreed.
but, you know, just listening to Greg Berlanti talk in interviews, he was such a fan of the 1990 version of The Flash that, you know... That really is the first season. They are kind of taking what the 90s Flash did, and they are, you know, standing on the top of that show and taking it to the next level. Because, you know, we talked about how if the 90s Flash was to go to a second season, they were going to bring in the Rogues Gallery more and, you know, have team-ups and stuff like this. And I'm sure they would have gotten to time travel at some point there as well. Maybe not.
They did. He did go back. He did go forward.
Oh, that's right.
In time.
I'm sorry.
Remember? Yeah. But
to the
yeah,
alternate. Yeah. To the alternate
done,
Central City. Right.
But I think they would have done more. I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel that was like a proof of concept show. And that said, okay, what can you do? What can't you do? And what could you do back in the 90s? And, you know, now we're, you know, 25 years later. So, you know, obviously we can do a lot more. So, but I agree with you. Just the fact that we're only 15 episodes in and they have taken it to such an amazing level. I mean, all the stuff they've teased that about what we've got coming up, not talking about promos, but just in the show itself. I mean, they were teasing time travel a few episodes ago. We got Grodd coming. You've got all these great villains that they've put in already in, you know, in the first 13 episodes, we've had so many classic Flash villains show up. It really excites me as a fan to watch this show every week, and the show makes me excited.
Yeah, it's very quickly become a rich world with many possibilities of characters and situations. So I'm kind of gushing a little bit. I apologize. We'll get back to Harrison Wells here, but I was floored by this episode and this whole series. It's just really pushed me in a great direction. I'm very pleased.
They've also really gotten their chops wet doing Arrow because, you know, all the producers and writers and directors have been working on Arrow for two and a half seasons or whatever as well. So I think that has helped them figure out what can we do, what, where should we not go? And, you know, and I think they were so stifled by Arrow's lack of superpowers kind of thing that now they're like, oh, we can do everything.
Yeah. Well, they are.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's talk about Harrison some more. Now some of the stuff that he said to Sisko again, I want to ask one question. He told him his name. He told Sisko his name right away. I'm glad Sisko, they're proving that, you know, he's as smart of a character as he appears to be. He immediately put Thawne together with Eddie.
Right.
And Eobard or Harrison, whatever you want to call him now.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we'll call him a distant relative.
Yes.
What's he mean by that?
That he's a distant relative?
Really? I mean, yeah. You say that, we'll call him a distant relative. I mean, that doesn't... First of all, do you know any relatives that from 500 years ago? And again, I'm just assuming that 400 or 500 years ago. But,
well, let's see. When did the Mayflower come over?
Nice.
My parents have traced our lineage back to the Mayflower.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, so, I have too. Not the Skolty like family name, but some relatives, yeah.
Okay.
I think there's something else there besides maybe being just a relative. I don't know. I mean, in all our podcasts and all my speculation of any characters, I have so far been epically, horribly wrong with everything that I've guessed with Harrison Wells. So that's okay. I'm actually glad, so, because it's more surprising and better what they've come up with.
Well, in that case, I'm going to predict that Sisko is dead, just to make you feel better.
Okay. All right. I'll hold you to that.
Okay.
All right,
usual
now,
bet.
I want to. Yeah.
$1.
Yes. So what are his motives? He tells Sisko that he did not go back in time to kill Nora.
No.
He went back in time to kill Barry.
Dude, he royally screwed up.
He missed. That's, it shouldn't even
yeah, he, Barry. He missed big time. It's like, that is a big trip to take to mess up, and then you're stuck, and then he's got to hang out for 15 years to this point. Which is pretty sad. As far as the show goes, I don't have any idea as to what his motivations are, other than he hates Barry for some reason, you know, like, but why?
But why?
And, right. And the only thing I've got is, you know, I can pull in stuff that I know from the comic books, which I think we should leave for another time just because there's so much other stuff we want to talk about. But I don't think they presented anything, you know, that we can tie to motives at this point.
So far. So that's a question up in the air that I want to just I want to keep on the burner and see if we can put some clues. Because we've put some clues as the season's gone on. We've put some clues together that have led us to this point. And some of them have been right. Some of them have been wrong. But this is like a new thing I want to think about. I don't know what he's doing. And also he says he went back to kill Barry. Which Barry? Because we know that the young Barry was there, obviously, but we also know that some future time Barry has gone back and is there as well. So,
oh my God.
Which one was he trying to kill?
I was totally thinking young Barry. That I can't believe I missed that.
Hmm. So
that's great.
And you've been writing a time travel blog and everything.
So, dude, I just watched the worst time travel movie ever. I think it fried my circuits. I gotta get them repaired now.
You gotta watch a good one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna watch something good next. So,
all right.
Well, like this. This was definitely a good one.
Oh, good. Right, now are you gonna tell us what the bad one was?
It was Transfer 6. Did you even
six?
Know they made a Transfer 6?
I didn't even know there was a 6.
Yeah. Well, that was the one that killed the series.
No, Transfer 7, the return, huh?
No.
All right, so he says that he went back in time to kill Barry, but he failed. Well, clearly he failed. But now he's stuck there. So what made him get stuck? Why is he stuck? So did he
well,
go
the other question is, how did he get back in the first place? So, right, he stole the I went back and watched part of the Man in the Yellow Suit episode after this because I wanted to see how the – I'm going to call it a hologram – of the containment field.
Oh, right. When Sisko was what? Oh, no, wait. You mean when Cisco was watching it this time?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to see how that play of the Reverse Flash lined up to what we saw of the Reverse Flash in the containment field back in episode 9.
Okay. And?
Right. And they it was the exact same stuff, right? There were the same pauses, the same dialogue, the same movements and everything like that. And then it just got turned off before we saw him beating up Harrison and escaping or whatever. Mm. But the whole point of that was that he was stealing this tachyon device, right? The point of the tachyon device appeared to be that he needed it to get back to wherever he came from. So how did he travel back in the first place? Did he travel back and his tachyon device was destroyed in some fashion? Mm. Did he travel back through some other means? Was he capable of running fast enough to time travel 500 years or whatever at some point, and now he can't because we saw that he had some weird issues with his speed when Cisco found him laying in the hallway in that, like 4 episodes ago, I think it was.
Right. Like it was giving out on him or something.
Right. Like his powers were atrophying in some way. That doesn't seem to be the case. He was using his powers a lot in this episode. Very impressively. So,
well, I think your first idea was that's worth mentioning. If maybe it wasn't a tachyon device or some other kind of device, he clearly has speed without that, but maybe not enough speed to travel through time like Barry appears to have on his own. So maybe he needed something to boost his speed, but when he went back, something happened to it. It got destroyed. Now he has nothing. He doesn't have enough speed to get forward or go back to his own time.
Right. So now he's got to make sure Barry does become the Flash, gain his powers, and then press him to become, as fast as he possibly can, because he knows that if Barry moves fast enough, he can break the time barrier.
Hmm. Okay. So now he needs Barry, and he needs the Flash, and he needs that speed.
Yeah. And wow. And it you know, gets into those time paradox things like, well, if he went back in time to kill Barry and didn't, so obviously he's the one who helped Barry become the Flash. How did Barry become the Flash initially without having Eobard Thawne come back in time?
That's your time travel paradox right there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a time travel paradox. Uh-oh.
I think we just said that. All right, you know what? Let's talk a little bit about time travel, because we saw at the beginning of this sort of foreshadowing. I guess is it foreshadowing when it's time travel?
Good point. Yes, I think it still is.
Okay, we'll take that as from a storytelling point. Okay, so he saw himself as he was running off to the morgue. To check that out. Mm-hmm. He saw himself running, which ended up being the end of the show, Barry. I saw somebody say, you know, he looked kind of ghost-like, right? I mean, he was blurry or something. He didn't seem clearly.
Right. And that was, I mean, because the way Wells explained it was sort of this after image, a mirage, right? So it's that would be like a ghost image. But if you did notice the ghost image that we saw at the beginning of Barry was moving faster than the Barry that we were focused on.
Which makes sense, yeah. Now, what I was going to say, I saw somebody observe. They said that, that ghost image kind of disappeared. So maybe he was like slipping out of the time stream, which is one explanation of how he's traveled through time, you know.
Hmm.
I went back and watched it several times, and I disagree with that a little bit. I don't think he did disappear. I think he was moving faster. I think he sped ahead. And that's what it looked like to me when I watched it.
Did you have
a feeling about that?
Well, yeah. So I saw the ghost image, and then he kind of took off ahead. But then, Barry arrives, kind of shakes his head, and he looks around, and he sees the guy spinning the sign, the woman with the dogs. There's a clock in the background that changes from 9:59 to 10 p.m. And then there's the woman yelling for the taxi. Mm-hmm. And it's the exact same, it's not the same footage, but it's the same actions that the Barry at the end sees. But now we're on the other side, and we're the ghost Barry now, going faster. And he just appears. Like, what happens to that other, like in both instances, what happens to the other Barry? I saw somebody say that he actually traveled into Barry's body. So basically, the first time through of the episode, we saw, let's call it Barry Prime, comes running up and stops, and he saw this ghost image next to him. But Barry Prime then goes off and does everything that we saw in the episode. Then he runs very fast at the end of the episode, travels through a wormhole to go back to the night before, and now Barry number one comes streaking past Barry Prime, and then Barry number one's the one that now stops and sees the guy spinning the sign, right, and the clock change and everything like that. But what happened to Barry Prime at that point? Like, he would be there at the exact same moment unless it's one of two things. It's like this person I saw online suggests, it's he actually time travels back into his own body, which, except for the worst parts of it, trancers, actually, that's how their time travel works. You can only time travel back into a body of yourself or one of your relatives, which would be some interesting stuff to do with Harrison Wells as well, potentially. it could also be that there is an alternate universe that is opened up at that moment in time, and Barry Prime is in his primary universe, and Barry One goes into his universe. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's a split in the time continuum, so that, you know, you can relive the same events, but it's in a different universe, and you'll never really be able to get back to that other universe.
Right. Which has happened.
The Back to the Future split kind of thing they talk about. So.
And that's happened actually in the comics, with the Flash, the different kind of universes, right? That's actually how they've rebooted, stories and DC.
They rebooted the entire DC universe. Based on that.
Because of the Flash. Now, you know, I see a couple things. I don't want to spend too much time on this one topic, but it's a big one. I see, and maybe this is just semantics, right? But I see different universe and different timeline as slightly different things. I saw him speed ahead,
yeah,
and not just disappear like I saw people say online. But what you were saying makes a lot of sense too, because if he sped ahead, then how did he stop at the same place? And right, not see himself at that same place. So, mm-hmm. So I think that makes a lot of sense. I guess he did kind of disappear. I could be putting several different things I saw together, but that there's been stories that explain that you can't, when you do go back in time, you can't occupy the same place as yourself. So it kind of replaced him.
Time cop. Replaces him. Oh, yeah, that's different than time cop.
Yeah, time cop. You don't.
You can see yourself, but you can't occupy the same space in the matter at the same time. Otherwise, you get all goopy.
Yeah, your big, thick beards get mixed up and tangled up. But what is happening to him? I don't know. It's kind of we had a big discussion in at my house here about what we think happened. I think he has replaced himself and I think it's kind of a different timeline, you know, so he's kind of skewed off a la Back to the Future. And even just now, I want to ask you, or I already know,
so
it's
a slightly different time.
Exactly.
Line.
And now tell him how you know that the scenes weren't exactly identical. You kind of pointed it out to me, but.
Did I?
Maybe I just speculated.
I compared the footage between the two.
Right. And it's not identical, right? I mean, it's, you actually went back and compared the two scenes.
Yeah, I watched the first part, and then I jumped ahead and watched the last part. And it's a second take that they did. You know, they had when Barry stops, the first time Barry stops, we're kind of on his left because That's how the camera's set up. And when we're when Barry stops the second time, we're kind of on the right. But then as regards to what he sees, the action plays out in the same scenes. They just it's like a different take. It's not that they use the exact same footage.
Right.
So it's very similar.
But they could have. They could have used the exact same footage.
They could. I mean, that is true.
There's no reason that they could have just done that. But that's what I'm saying. That's I think they did that deliberately. And it's kind of that idea that even the slightest little thing starts to set off chain reactions that change things, you know? Is that the butterfly effect or something like that, you know? So even then, as soon as he came back, things are already kind of set in motion to be slightly different. So do you think he can actually get back, or not that he'd want to necessarily, but get back to a universe or a timeline that he was in at the end of the episode, like right, you know, as he was trying to take care of the tsunami?
No, I don't think there's a could prove us wrong, but I don't think there's a way to go back. And what I think is really crucial for us to understand is that everything that happened in this episode after bowling, basically 10 p.m. or after, which is after bowling, when he was on his way to the morgue, is up for grabs to be altered.
Yes.
By Barry, knowing now what he knows about the next, you know, whatever, 18 hours or something like that.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Because I was going to say clearly, but not clearly. But we assume that a lot of it is going to change. So what's going to change? So let's think of some of the big things that were happening in this episode that could potentially get changed.
Okay, so there was that guy that he threw a can out in the street when Barry first I thought that was kind of a big deal. You know, it's like littering. I didn't know if that was – maybe Barry's going to help the lady get a taxi.
Yeah, he should recycle it. I thought he was going to do it right there. I'm wondering why they showed that at the beginning. You know, when I was watching, I'm like, is he going to, like, get her a taxi real quick and then go to the morgue? But now I understand why they did that. But yeah, for sure. Recycle, people. Come on. But Captain Singh, that was a big deal, man. He saved Joe.
Everything's a big deal here. I know.
he took the brunt of the lightning blast. I guess he took the whole lightning blast. I guess potentially paralyzed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to get undone. I mean, I think you're going to go down this list of stuff, and I'm pretty much going to say everything can be undone.
Okay. Well, it can be undone, but, I mean, do you think they'll do it? But, you're right. I almost, like, what's the point of this list? But I guess just a checklist of things that we think they're going to address.
Here's the one twist to your list, and we can still look at some of these things because I think there may be value in it. Remember that when Professor Stein was explaining about the two types of time travel, there's the Terminator style of time travel and the Back to the Future style time travel, one in which the universe is fixed and one in which the universe is malleable. And possibly this is a mixture of the two, kind of like Doctor Who, where there are you can go back and you can change stuff and you can move things around, but there are certain points in time that always must happen. Like, you know, if you are destined to meet and marry your wife, you know, you can go back in time and you can give yourself a flat tire or give her a flat tire or something like that. But the two of you are still going to meet in some way. It might be slightly different than it was in the original timeline, but, you know, there's the universe is at work because those are touch points or something like that. So I think the real question is, are any of these events that happen, I'm just going to go down kind of our list here that of the big events, Captain Singh getting paralyzed, Barry kissing Iris, Joe getting captured and injured, Sisko getting killed, Caitlin finding out about Wells admitting to Sisko that he is Reverse Flash. Are any of those things that you think are these touch points that will happen regardless of whether or not they get undone?
See, that's what I'm wondering. Even the first thing that he changes, and I can potentially see, like, as far as the captain getting paralyzed, right? That's a big one that he knows about that he could pretty easily stop from happening. Just make sure he's at the police station with the wand when Martin shows up. So that potentially gets Martin out of the picture, and he doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Right. You could just stop Martin way early on right there before any of that happens.
Right. And that – okay, so that takes care of a huge part of that list. Takes care of the captain. Joe won't get captured or injured. The tsunami won't happen. And at least for now, the kiss won't happen. But
right. That
doesn't necessarily change anything with Wells, Sisko, and Caitlin. Okay? He doesn't even know that has happened. So can
right. He
fix that? How can he fix that?
Well, if he is not, if Barry's not off running around doing that kind of stuff because there's the weather wizard, then maybe they're working on something else so that Sisko isn't doing all this investigation at this point. But he's a curious fella, and these ideas are already in his head because, like you said, if Barry gets to the station before Martin shows up, the scene will have just happened where Sisko's like, so Joe, you were saying that you thought that Wells had something to do with Barry's mom's murder? That will have just happened because, remember, as soon as Sisko got on the elevator, Martin got off, and that's when he called Barry. So there's still the potential for Sisko to be continuing to talk about this. But I don't think that would happen right away because, of course, Barry would stop Martin and then he'd come back and say, boy, the weirdest thing happened to me, Professor Wells. I traveled through time. I went back to yesterday and I changed a whole bunch of stuff. And, oh, really? Oh, let's look into this, Barry, because I need to track this for our posterity, you know, kind of thing.
I hadn't thought about that, you know, stopping right there, causing it to the whole Sisko issue not happen. Now I don't want to go into that. Never mind. I don't want to talk about that. A little bit of the preview stuff maybe gave us some clues or even gave some stuff away, but I'm not gonna get into that.
Okay.
Because you know we don't want to do that. But I guess that could potentially happen where he could find out about Sisko. Man, heck, even if he stops Martin and he just is like, oh well, I guess I'm done. I kind of fixed that. Guess I'll go hang out at Star Labs and you know,
yeah,
boom, there he is. So even that could stop it. But still, the fact that Sisko found out, okay, two things here. The fact that Sisko found out means no matter what happens to the timeline here, that potential is right there. Sisko found out fairly easy. He set that up fairly easy. He ran that hologram program fairly easy, and he's going to do it again.
And we know. Now we know.
And also, just because all of this is different and new, what about Wells? He's a different character from a different time in a different place here. Is he going to now no longer know that Sisko's kind of found out about him or is able to find out about him? Or is he going to have some knowledge like Barry about him going back? Because, you know,
I'm going to say
Barry can tell him.
Yeah, I'm going to say he won't have knowledge. Just like if Barry goes back and undoes something, right? Like if he stops Martin at the police station, there's no tsunami. If there's no tsunami, Barry hasn't revealed himself to Iris, so Iris doesn't know that he's the Flash. Hmm. Which is why in my list of who knows Flash's identity, I put a little asterisk by that, saying that that's going to get undone.
Yeah,
and she'll have known, but she'll only have known for a few moments here, and then basically everything's reset for her. Or in the alternate timeline theory, it's a different character, or, you know, it's a different iteration of Iris who doesn't know and still doesn't know.
Well, she's going to know someday anyway. We know that.
She will know someday. While we're talking about all this kind of stuff, let me touch on one other thing that I didn't have time to put in our notes, but it's about Mason Bridge. I've been harping on this guy since he was introduced because he is just a nosy neighbor, and something is up with him. They are making him way too suspicious. He's all up into Wells's business here. He knows about Simon Stagg, and it's very convenient and convenient in not in a boy, that was just a really convenient plot thread to introduce so that one of our other characters could do something, but in a suspicious, like, this guy is acting really weird from an audience standpoint. You know, introducing all this Simon Stagg stuff to Iris and having her look into, hey, you should look into Wells. And then he tells Barry that he's got a secure digital file with proof that Wells either can get up out of the wheelchair or something along those lines, because Barry says, you think he killed Simon Stagg? He's in a wheelchair. And he's like, well, I've got a secure digital file with all this proof. You'll just have to read it in Sunday's paper. So if we assume that this episode took place on a Tuesday, as they have mentioned that that's when the episodes usually take place, just based on stuff that happens.
So don't visit Central City on Tuesday.
Right. Yeah, it's the worst day to visit Central City. That's when all the villains hit it. But does that mean that coming this Sunday that he's publishing a story that basically says Wells killed Simon Stagg? Is this guy also from the future? Is he like a plant? I mean, what is going on with him? I don't know. I don't have any other answers than my suspicion, but my
I agree with you that it's an interesting character. I mean, because not only is he suspicious and seems to have a lot of knowledge, but he's very arrogant about it. I mean, fits his character really well. But I mean, he's so confident, nonchalant about, oh yeah, he killed him, I know it. I mean, you know, so it does seem like he's sort of there's something different about him. It's not just some knowledgeable reporter, but maybe in the different timeline he'll take the brunt of the Wells abuse and not our man Cisco.
Oh, interesting. Yep. Okay.
Well, I don't want to ignore another amazing character. I want to talk about Mark Martin for just a little bit and just in general, those types of villains on this. But first of all, way more realistically played out, maybe. I don't know how to describe it. I really like the performance much better than Clyde Martin.
I attribute that, a little bit of that, to the fact that it was a pilot, you know, and they were kind of doing the best they could with what they had at the time. But
oh yeah, sure.
He was definitely a more powerful villain in terms of his superpowers, I mean.
Yeah.
And I can attribute that to the fact that he's had 6 more months to work on them.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he may even have different powers. I mean, they clearly showed different powers than they did with Clyde Martin. But even stronger. I mean, you know, sending a big wave toward the city, that's bigger than a tornado. Even a tornado can't do that. You know, that's what Clyde Martin was doing. Just pulling lightning out. I don't know. Anyway, it was really, really cool. One of my questions about why was Joe so nonchalant about the weather wizard? What's going on there? I mean, it's like,
cause it's just Mark Martin. He's just a 2-bit, no good crook. And his brother was a low down, dirty snake.
Well, that's definitely true. But he didn't seem to care at all. And they didn't even really notice as it's starting to rain on their car. I'm like, okay, first of all, a guy that controls the weather is after you, and it's starting to rain. I think I would be suspicious of the slightest breeze.
Still not down with that whole metahuman thing. It's like, yeah, I know you got superpowers, and we keep running into these guys, and, well, you know.
I guess he certainly was wise in the police station, you know, when Martin showed up and all the police were getting ready to go after him.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, don't do anything. Don't, no. You know, I mean, he seemed like then he was very wise about the powers. But so my question about Mark Martin was, again, excellent performance. I really liked it. You know, the implication of these more powerful villains, is that going to kind of change where Barry goes, how he, what kind of hero he becomes? And it seems to me as if it is just as what they're doing with on the show. But do you think that the Rogues Gallery type villain is going to be more powerful now from here on out?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they are making the threats very, very threatening, just in the sense that you've got these characters that don't have powers. I mean, imagine if somebody really did have these powers. I mean, he walks into a police station. What are they going to do? He literally blows them away. He channels lightning and, can paralyze or kill people. You come snooping around on him, he blows you out a window. There's just no way for normal people to interact with these superpowered beings, and so that's why the Flash is necessary. And it's gonna put Barry in a really tough position, because he literally has to be everywhere at once, because these villains keep coming out of the woodwork. And so he's got to really step up to be able to, fight this threat and, become a hero, a stronger hero, a faster hero, a better hero, in probably a much more rapid timeline than he would be comfortable with in a normal situation.
Well, I like that they're not, the show is clearly not, it's not really doing a villain of the week kind of thing like we sometimes worry about. And they're not little two-bit criminals. I mean, these are serious threats that really, truly only the Flash is going to be able to handle, which is what you would expect in a superhero like this. I mean, I've seen shows like this, comic book genre shows where it's like, the police probably could have handled that. It might have been different or whatever, but, it wasn't that big a deal. Even, I'd say even the 90s Flash was like that. Anyway, I like that. I thought the Weather Wizard in this one was great. He's potentially still around. We have no idea what happened to him. I do want to make one point real quick, is that a tsunami is not a weather event. Okay.
Yes.
He is the Weather Wizard.
It is caused by an earthquake.
So that is a very common mistake amongst my fifth grade students when we study weather. But hopefully not a mistake adults made. Now, I'm not saying he couldn't control the waves or whatever, but Barry did call it a tsunami. It is, not the weather. So.
Yeah, basically. One other cool thing, in the showdown between Wells and Martin in the police station, they were standing in the lobby, I guess, area, and there's the table with the weather wand on it. And so the scene is, you can see Joe in the foreground, the table, and Mark, and Joe's line is, "This is between us, you and me." But it was in this shot where he's trying to get to the wand, and he says, "This is between us." And of course it's visually between the two of them in the shot. I thought that was a clever little piece of direction in this episode.
So that's good. So, all right. Well, man, powerful episode, emotional episode. Where they go from here, I cannot wait to find out. And I've seen online a lot of things that are coming, and I mean, I don't know any details or anything any more than anybody else could access or do, but I cannot wait, man. We've got Grodd. We've got Captain Cold is coming back, and
Trickster.
Jeez. Oh, okay, I've got to be emotionally stable for the rest of the season here. They don't have that many episodes left, and they're going to be huge. I think every one of them is going to be huge. They're doing.
Yep. Well, they'll be back in 3 weeks, right? No, I'm just kidding. They're back next week.
They're doing such a great job on this show, and it really shows, and people know about it, and. I do spread the word about this. Every time I wear my Flash socks, I think I spread the word, but so doing a great job. Now they did have, a few references in this that I want to run down for this week. Some of them we've kind of touched on a little bit, but some of them are pretty cool. So why don't you, help us out with this a little bit?
All right. So, you want me to start here? Okay, so well, we had Cisco make something called a weather wand, which is in the classic weather wizard. That is how he interacted with the weather. He had an actual device that did it. He didn't actually have the powers himself. So that was pretty cool. And it looked like a lightsaber. And if you notice, when Barry picks it up, he kind of gives a little like a lightsaber swing to it. Very subtle while Cisco was talking, but I'm like, there you go, Barry. And of course, because Mark Hamill's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks, I thought everyone's got Star Wars on the brain. Yeah, probably.
Weather Wizard always had that wand, which I guess why they called him a wizard, right? And then in the New 52, they took that wand and they, I don't know what you'd say, merged it with him to give him that power. So now he doesn't need that wand anymore. It's just him.
Right, because it's part of him.
Wells was, explaining everything to Cisco, monologuing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Monologuing,
as
yes,
Syndrome
he was.
Would say. So as Wells was monologuing to Cisco, explaining how he did everything, how he could be in two places at once, he mentioned, what did he say? Speed
mirage.
Right? Is that what he called it? Speed mirage. Okay, I couldn't remember if he called it something different because I've seen that.
And that was the same explanation he gave to Barry earlier as to why Barry saw a second version of himself as well.
Oh yeah, why didn't I put that together? That's ridiculous. I'm ashamed. Now Barry did this in the comics. He's done this to cover up his identity. You know, he would kind of go so fast back and forth and change his costume in between so people wouldn't. No, the Flash was Barry Allen. Man, if he was as good at it as Wells, I can see how that would work. And in the comics, they'd always show the blur of him in between changing, so we would know he was going fast, but the people wouldn't.
Right.
You know, speaking of Barry's suit, does he wear it on a regular basis? I was under the impression he kind of kept it at Star Labs, but when he changed in front of Iris, it took him a second. You think he went all the way to Star Labs and got it and then changed?
I don't know. I felt like he kind of just like he just kind of whirled around in a fast circle like, and changed like right there.
It's
I
like
mean,
a
that's,
Wonder Woman change right there.
But he, right, kind of like a Wonder. That yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking in my head. I wasn't going to say out loud, but yeah, I don't know how he would wear that under his clothes. I don't know. It's possible. I mean, he's fast, but I don't know. Is he that fast?
I don't know.
And it's really hard for them to say to maybe show how fast he actually is, just due to the fact that they actually have to film this.
They did another thing this week. Yeah. This is unrelated. I'll get right back to here. They did another thing this week where they panned down from the city, showing him running through the streets. That was a much faster take. Than they usually do. So, okay. So next, Cisco. He named Weather Wizard. Said he'd been holding on to that since week one.
Yeah, since week one. Yeah, that was good.
So I like the way they did that.
And like we mentioned earlier, Eobard Thawne from the comics, who is Reverse Flash in the comics, he revealed his name. So that's cool.
Now, I found online that Reverse Flash has killed people vibrating into their bodies before. I found a picture of him doing it, but I couldn't tell who it was. It's a woman, though. It almost looks like Batgirl.
It does kind of look like Batgirl in this. Yeah, I'm not sure. That frame that you pulled in there, I'm not familiar with it. Maybe somebody else might know. It looks like he's sticking it into someone's forehead.
Yeah, inside her brain. He's doing fatal damage in the molecules inside her brain. So he's mean. He's mean.
While we're talking about the... he's a bad guy. What do you want? While we're talking about him vibrating like that, let me just say that Carlos Valdez did an amazing job in this sequence. The tears that he brought out, I almost started crying just because there was so much emotion in that scene. And the fact that you've got Wells there, well, you know, you're like my son, but you've been dead to me for centuries. So, you know.
He played it so well. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm gushing here, but he held perfectly still. Like, he knew he couldn't run. He knew that was pointless. He knew there was nothing he could do.
Oh,
he knew
yeah.
he was going to die. He knew he'd been betrayed. That was fantastic.
And just what a bold – I mean, Carlos could have played it a number of different ways, depending on the direction he was given, I guess. But, I mean, he was really pretty much bawling with tears, you know, by the end there. So that was just a very brave decision on the way for him to go about that scene. And for all the people out there, I've seen a couple people online saying that they really have never really liked Sisko, but that scene turned it around for them, which, you know, that's such a testament to the writing and the acting and the directing, all sorts of things there. So that was really cool. The film that Sisko and Wells are watching is Buster Keaton's film called The Cameraman from 1928. I don't think that has any deep, meaningful significance, but that was that's just the name of it.
I can't think of anything.
Yeah.
Well, Caitlin said she was going to watch the entire series of Walking Dead with Sisko. That was nice of her. It was good timing, too, because my wife just started doing that.
Oh, starting over from the beginning?
She hadn't watched it. This is the first season she'd ever watched it, so she wanted to see what happened before that. But
yeah, there was this, everybody looked so young 4 years ago. That's
I told her, happened. I said, anybody that you see that's not on it now, don't get too attached.
Yeah. We did find out that Captain Singh's fiance is not Hartley Rathaway, the Pied Piper.
Which we didn't really think he was, but they actually...
Right, in the comics he is.
But they actually showed him in this one.
Yeah. Yep, it's actually a character named Rob. At least that's how he's listed in the credits.
Just Rob.
And kudos for the positive GBLT portrayal on the show. I thought that was really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, just
the nurse just saying, you know, can't come in, and Joe actually standing up for Rob, saying, you know, well, he's fiance now. That makes him family, and the nurse letting him in. Yeah,
very natural.
So that's great.
Didn't even
like that.
Bat an eye, but and then my favorite reference of that.
My favorite.
Is
no,
this
my
your favorite too? Did you notice this right away?
I love this. I did not notice it on my first viewing, but I did notice it when I watched it the second time.
I noticed it right away, and it didn't, my wife didn't either. But so at the end, when Barry realizes he's just traveled back a day in time, the first thing he says is, "Oh boy," which,
and the last words in the episode too.
Yes. So if you don't know what that reference is to, it's from an old show called Quantum Leap, where a character named Sam would leap back in time into the bodies of other people, and he would do that
to right wrongs, which were or to right the wrongs and something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. See, I had it all in my head, and then I can't.
I messed it up.
It's not coming out of my mouth. So,
and when he would leap and kind of realize where he was or who he was, you know, and sometimes he was a woman, and I think once he was a dog. but the last words of the episode that he said were, "Oh boy," and that had to be exactly where they got that from. So,
that has got to be a direct reference. It's time travel, and it's him saying, "Oh boy." I mean, even if it's an accident, it totally calls to mind that. So I think it's on purpose.
And we used to love Quantum Leap. That was something my wife and I used to watch when we were dating. So it was on for like 4 seasons. Starred Scott Bakula, and Dean Stockwell. So.
I believe it was on for maybe it was 4 seasons. I want to say it was more than that, but maybe it wasn't. Anyway, great show. Yeah, Scott Bakula was awesome in that.
All right. Well, you know what, man? There's a tsunami coming, so you and I have to run. As always, we're running away.
All right.
Though.
Well, welcome back to Scarlet Velocity, then. I'm sorry. I thought we were starting over.
No, we got to run. Sorry.
Okay. Well, if you guys enjoyed this episode, which I can't believe we're done already because I feel like there's so much more to talk about. But please help us out and leave us some feedback on iTunes. You can also contact us via email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. Let us know your thoughts about the episode and time travel. Or you can tweet at us at scarletvelocity. Or there's a number of interesting discussions going on our Facebook page right now at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast.
Hey, yeah, and you can also check out our other shows that we do, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. Those are both at randomchatter.com. Also, you can find all our shows on the iTunes store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, we'd love for you to tell all your friends about it so we can share it with as many people as talk about, because we love talking about it with people and to you. And hey, remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.